And we need your help so that we understand what your word is saying to us this morning. We don't pretend to know what the Spirit would say, but we rely on you right now in Jesus' name. Open our hearts, cause our understanding to be enlightened. We give glory to Jesus, your Son. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, as they went, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed her into his house. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his teaching. I like what Mary was doing. She was sitting and she was listening. But Martha was distracted with much serving, kind of like us many times, amen? And she came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister had left me alone to serve, has left me to serve alone? Then tell her to help me. Jesus answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Not two, not three. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, and I want to put emphasis on this. Say it with me. Which shall not be taken from her. Let's do it again. Which shall not be taken from her. In a world where many things can be taken from us, this is one thing that can never, ever be taken from us. Our place in God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. But God, being rich in mercy and grace, mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up and seated us together. He seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, Jesus says this morning, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in unto him and dine with him and he with me. I'm from the Northeast. I'm born in Maine to be exact, Westbrook, Maine to be exact, outside of Portland. And in our homes up there, our first parsonage had a kitchen that was 17 by 12. It was a large room. And it was always the warmest room in the house. There was a time that there was a wood stove in that room. And the main door, I don't believe that in the 4 years we pastored there, we ever used the front door. Everybody came in through the kitchen door. How many know what I'm talking about? Now, these modern houses are a little different, but the old farmhouses used to be that way. And when we got to Columbia, where I grew up, we would go visit somebody, and they would always welcome us with a cup of coffee and some cookie, cracker, or piece of bread or something. And it was the way of saying welcome into my home. I believe it's the same with our relationship with God. We're born strangers in sin. But because of his love and our acceptance of that love, we're brought into a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. And then by a sovereign act of God, we are drawn into heavenly places according to the Apostle Paul, and we're given a place at the table of the Lord. Seated in heavenly places. All we have to do is accept his provision, reject our sins, accept him and repent and change the way we present ourselves and our conduct, and we are brought into an everlasting, eternal relationship with God. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at feasting going on at the table of the Lord. Three things that happen when we gather at a table. Then last week, we looked at the fact that there is fellowship at the table of the Lord. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that believeth in me shall never, ever hunger. So we have to be careful how we act in the body of Christ, because it indicates whether we're feasting or we're fasting. Hello? Amen. It's interesting. We know when our children are hungry. If, you know, Stephen, I don't know. Ruth, do you know when SK's hungry? Yeah, he starts to act a little different, doesn't he? Yeah, he gets a little cranky. Yeah, he gets a little out of sorts. Well, let's stop right there. We don't want to talk about the body of Christ in that. Well, number two, there is a fellowship. We are the body of Christ. Amen? How many brought your body to church?
Amen.
Amen? So we're connected one to another. Right? Therefore, we can't afford to be at odds one with another. Do you know what the rudimentary, the bottom definition of cancer is, the one that's most easily explained? It's cells rebelling against cells. It's cells in our body being wrong, being bad, being naughty, being nasty, and rebelling against the cells around them. Well, let's leave that there. Amen. We are the bride of Christ. Amen. And now this morning I want to talk about, before I do, I need to mention one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I got a lot of favorite verses in the Bible. If you look at my Bibles, they're all marked up with red. But Mark chapter 3, 14 and 15, and Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Don't you like that? 3, 14, 4, 13. 3, 14, 4, 13. Right? Can't mess that one up. He says, and he appointed 12, it says, right? Ordained 12 to be with him and to be sent out to preach, to have authority to heal sickness and to cast out devils. What were we ordained for? We weren't ordained to be prosperous. We will be prosperous. We weren't ordained to be miracle workers. We will be miracle workers. We weren't ordained in the first place to thump our chest and say we belong to God. We were ordained to be with Him. Everything emits from there. If we're with Him, the rest works out okay. When we're not with Him, the rest doesn't work out quite so good. How many know what I'm talking about, right? And then he said in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were illiterate and uneducated men. Boy, I'm in a great bunch. I'm right there with Peter and John. They marveled and they recognized that they had been to Bible college. They recognized that they could quote scripture. They recognized that they could heal the sick. No, they recognized they had been with Jesus. Now, the third thing that happens at the table of the Lord is formation of future plans. Now, this is a beautiful part of the Lord's table, and I'm going to help you. Hang on to your seats. Grab onto the pew there. I want you to hang on tight. Because I'm going to answer two of the most important questions in the body of Christ this morning. And I'm going to do it with the Word of God. Whether these questions are voiced or not, they're vital and important this morning. The first question is, what's the will of God for my life? That's an important question, amen? And Christians ask it all the time. What's the will of God for my life? And then they use the will of God as the number one excuse for spiritual laziness. Hello? Come on, help us with VBS. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to pray about it. Excuse me? Because I need to know if it's the will of God or not. I can't help you, Lori, yet because I'm seeking the will of God. Doesn't that sound spiritual? Pastor, ask you, help me. I will, but I'm seeking the will of God. Sounds real spiritual. Says I'm praying, I'm reading the Word. No, it doesn't. Wrong. Because God's will is not lost. Hello? Go to any mental institution, and the major reason they're there is because they've lost their will. They don't know who they are. They don't understand. I am a child of the King. Glory be to God. I am a servant of the Almighty God. I belong to His sheepfold. He is my shepherd. I go where He tells me to go. I do what He wants me to do. That's what I am. The will of God. Now, I've been married 50 years. Let me say this carefully. I have lived with my wife for 51 years. Now, I did not move in with her. I moved in with her brother, her sister, and her mother. So it wasn't that I was living with her like they do now, because that's a sin. We don't do that. Amen? But the year before we got married, I stayed in their home one whole summer. And we began to learn very quickly what the will was one of another. Hello? Now you come to my home now, and my wife will ask you when we get done eating. Some of you have been there. Hey, honey, do you want a cup of coffee? And I'll say, yes. She does not have to ask me how I want my coffee. She does not have to ask me what to put in my coffee. She already knows the will of God for my coffee. Why? Now, hang on a minute. Hang on tight. You see? She knows because there came a time in our marriage that she asked me, hello? Hello? If you say in the body of Christ, I'm seeking the will of God, it means I'm not asking God. Hello? See, I'm trying to get it right down where it's simple. Is that simple enough? Is that simple enough, Joel?
Yes.
Amen? Because if you want to know what somebody wants of you, you ask them, right? Now, when you put that with the facts of God's Word, and the fact is, I am the body of Christ, right? He is the head. Now, how many brought your head to church this morning? If you brought your head's going to tell your hand to raise it. How many brought your head to church? Amen? Amen? And when your head gets ready to leave this building, it will tell your feet what to do. There'll be no discussion. Hello? The right one says, Jose, I don't want to go.
Oh, where?
Going to be tough. You're going to do a split, and that hurts. Especially when you're as old as I am. But no. Your body is in complete harmony. Say that with me. Harmony. Amen? With the head. And the head is Jesus. Therefore, when the head decides to leave this building, the body's not going to have any problem with it. It's going to know what the will of the head is.
Amen.
So if I say, hang on to the pew, if I say I'm seeking the will of God, what I'm saying is I'm not connected to the head very well. I'm seeking the will of God. I'm not asking the head. Because secondly, if the body's going to do something and the head wants it done, the head's got to communicate with the body to get it done. There won't be anybody else coming to get it done. It will be you getting it done. There's no angels coming from glory to do the work that God has for His kingdom. It's you and me.
Oh, yeah.
Thirdly, God chose you and I. So don't insult Him by saying, I can't. Hello? Boy, it got quiet in here. My soul, help me, Jesus. I want them to shout. Let me say something that makes them shout. We have to understand our conduct indicates where we are in God. Not what we say, what we do. So, I am the only way, you are the only way, God's going to get His will accomplished on earth. And He chose you because, believe it or not, you are the very very best that he could find.
Amen. Amen.
How many have been to Lowe's or Home Depot or Curtis Lumber and you bought some 2x4s? Anybody ever been there? Isn't it amazing how many rotten 2x4s there are in the bunch?
Yes, Jerry.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And you go and you line them up. Some are as crooked, you could take them and build a road on them. It'd go right around the corner. Right? And you look at them and you find that beautiful one, right? Oh, it's so nice, it's so pretty. You flip it over and there's 3 big knots in it.
Yes.
Ready to fall out. No, I'm not going to take that. God went, hear me, to the 8 billion people on the face of this earth, and he said, I've got to choose somebody I'm going to use for my kingdom. I'm going to invest my power. I'm going to give them my resources. And he chose you because you were the best one of the bunch.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, I'm the best. I don't care what you think. I am the best. Glory be to God, because you are. Because he's omniscient. That means he knows everything. And guess what? He doesn't pick junk.
That's right.
He doesn't pick garbage. He only picks the best. Hallelujah. It's not pride to say I'm the best. It's not pride to say I'm the best he could have found. It is understanding who you are in God and knowing the Word of God. See? So therefore, you can do what he asks you to do. Now the problem is, what does God want me to do? Well, Solomon was brilliant with this. He says, whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your heart.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen.
You see? If something needs to be done, the Bible says, I see that it needs to be done, I need to do it. And I don't have to worry about whether I'm qualified or whether I'm able to, because with the call comes the ability.
Amen.
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 See, I take my talent and I use it for God. If I don't, I got a problem with God. Hello? Because he's got several parables about talents. How many know what I'm talking about? And the ones that didn't use theirs for God were the ones that were out cold. Hello?
Yeah.
The ones that used there were blessed and they were rewarded. God wants us to take our talent and use them for his glory. See, now God's will is very simple. And it's very easy. If you're not saved, his will is get saved. If you're not baptized in water, his will is get baptized in water. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, his will is get baptized in the Holy Ghost. God's will is not lost, and it's discovered at his table. That's where it is. That's where he talks about it. You see, we think, you see, they have these people running around saying that we can get to know God's will just by osmosis. No, you know someone's will by listening to them and by asking them. Hello? And nothing's going to happen here on earth unless it happens through us and by us. Nothing's going to happen in East Greenbush unless God uses you and I to make it happen.
Amen.
And God chose us because he chose the very best he could find. Hello?
Amen.
See? Now, his will's at his table, and along with his will, when I do the will of God, his strategy for victory is formulated at his table. At his table. It's like a cabinet meeting. Amen? Now, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's in trouble. He's got his servant gets up one morning and looks out through the window, throws the curtains back, the sun can shine on Jehoshaphat laying in his bed snoring, and he gets the sun coming in, got to get up, Jehoshaphat, you're the king, it's time to go. And he looks out and 3 nations have surrounded them. And he runs back, he says, Jehoshaphat, we got 3 nations and we're under siege, we're going to die. And Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, set his face to get advice. No. Set his face to read some books. No. Set his face to go on the internet. No. Set his face to call up the pastor. No. Set his face to seek the Lord. You can read it right there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He set his face to seek the Lord. He goes into the prayer chamber he has. And in that prayer chamber, he says, I love it. I love it. I'd preach a sermon on this. He says, I got the four P's for you this morning, Lord. And he goes to God in prayer and he starts praising the Lord. Now he's got all these problems. They're about to get annihilated by three nations. And he goes into the house of God and he doesn't talk about anything but praising the Lord.
Amen.
Then he lays out for God his performance. Somebody said, I don't need to tell God how he's performed down through the ages. No, he just loves to hear it.
Yes.
Just like we men love to hear, oh, you're handsome.
Hey, hey.
You do things so well. Right, Stephen? Makes you want to hug her. Yeah, and make number six. Number five, yes. Yes, we love it. See? And God loves it too. So he lays out his performance. You have said, Lord, that when we were in trouble, you have never abandoned us. You've always won the battle. You're God omnipotent. You're the greatest there's ever been. And God says, whoa, 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 Jehoshaphat knows me.
Yes.
Then he deals with his promise. Oh, let me remind you what you said. Now, you're great and I praise your holy name. You've never lost a battle and I worship you. Now let me tell you what you said. If you in the midst of trouble will turn your eye towards my city, Jerusalem, I will hear from heaven and I will come down and I will help you. And then he says, after he's done the praising and the performance telling and the promise quoting, he then gets to the problem. Oh yeah, before I get up and leave the prayer room, Lord, we've got an incident outside of the walls. We got a minor difficulty we need you to take care of. And he gives God the problem. Very little he says about the problem. And he's ready, hear me, he's ready to hear God when God tells him what the solution is. Because the solution doesn't make sense. You know, it's kind of like when we were in the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. I would have called up the president of the United States and I would have said, I got the solution. You get the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and you send them into battle.
Where?
Now, I love musicians. I play the trumpet. I like to sing. I love musicians. But I think that if my life was in danger, I would rather pick a boxer, a wrestler, a football player.
Yes.
Not a baseball player. No. Maybe a basketball player. I'd want to pick somebody. I wouldn't want to pick a musician. And God says, I want you to take the choir of Israel and I want you to send them into battle saying, blessed be the Lord, his mercy endures forever. And when you sing them, I'm going to take care of things. And he gets right up and says, yeah, let's do it. And he gets the musicians together in the choir. He sends them into battle. And the Bible says, God set ambushments against them. And the outcome was incredible. Three full days, Jose, with the U-Hauls and the tractor trailers and all the professional movers collecting the spoil and hauling it back. Because they obeyed God.
Amen.
You see, it happened at God's table. It didn't happen in a cabinet room. It didn't happen in a college. It happened at God's table. He asked him. God gave Jehoshaphat the strategy for victory when he went to the Lord's table and asked him. See, God's not interested in doing it my way. He's interested in doing it his way.
Amen.
Turn to somebody and say, it's not me, it's him. It's not me and him. God gives us the victory. I'm tired of the devil spoiling the church of Jesus Christ. It's time that we get back to his table and find out what his plan is for the victory. Glory be to God. See, now, I don't know what the devil has planned for you, but I know his strategy, because I've been studying his MOS a long time. I know what he's doing right now while we're sitting here. He's down there in the pits of hell, and he's planning a strategy to destroy you and to destroy me. It's kind of like minefields, right? How many know what a minefield is?
Oh, yeah.
The enemy gets down there and he puts it there, right? Right where you're going to step. And then he puts a flag up and says, minefield. No, he camouflages it. Why? He wants you to step on it so that you get an eternal lift. That's what he wants. And right now, he's devising strategies and minefields to put them in key places in your life and mine, in your family's life and my family's life, and we don't know where they are, but bless God this morning. I know somebody who does. He's sitting down there in the depths of hell. He's listening to Satan. He understands what he's doing, and he's got a map, and he spreads it on his table. Glory be to God. And he says, listen, I want to give you the coordinates of where every single minefield is, so that you walk through life, hallelujah, dodging every one of his traps and strategies, and I will give you the victory, because I'm going to make you more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
He has said that if I'm willing to run to his table, he's willing to lay out for me, hear me, every single plan the devil has. He'll show me who's got the IEDs? Hello? IEDs, what are they? What are they called? Anybody know what they're called? Of course you know what they're called. Right? Improvised explosive devices. Improvised explosive devices. We don't know who's got one. How many have had your plans blown up by one person? Right? They had an IED strapped around them. And they blew up your plans. What are they? Well, they could be a bad attitude. They could be disobedience to the Word of God. Help me, Lord. They could be bitterness. They could be forgiving attitude, because you see, the IED blows up the person that's got it as well as the person they want blown up. Are you hearing me? The victory cannot be won without us as God's instruments. Impossible. Remember, we read it, Mark chapter 3, Acts chapter 4. Listen to what God says through Timothy, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Hello? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. I was going to tell Steve and Ruth that if they had a boy, name it Philetus. There wouldn't be anybody else in school with that name, Philetus. Who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are unsettling the faith of some. We have those guys today that are on the internet, unfortunately. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing his seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, God knows you. God knows you. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. What God uses us for and how God uses us, hear me, is up to us. It's up to you. Yeah, turn to somebody and say, up to you. Say, we're called, we're commissioned, we're equipped, but we have to yield to Him. Look at what Romans 9, 20 and 24 says. And who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to the molder, why have you made me like this? Has a potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show His wrath and to make known His power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Remember the story of the field? They had sown good seed, and then the enemy came and sowed bad seed. And he said, leave it alone. There's a judgment coming. This is what Paul's talking about. In order to make known the riches of His glory for vessels of mercy, which He has prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom He has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. See? Many of us have said at one time or another, but you don't understand, Lord. That's not my wheelhouse. I can't do that. How many know what I'm talking about? See? I simply don't have the talent for that one, Lord, or the preparation for that task. I can't do it. Right, you can't. But I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Amen? I can do it, which is great, because then He gets the glory when I do it. I remember I was in a church and I finished the service. We had a tremendous altar call in southern part of Maine. And they came up to me and they said, numerous people, probably better than 30 or 40. And they said, Pastor, can you come back and hold a revival? And I said, well, I'm itinerating to go to the mission field. I said, I don't understand. They said, because we have never heard something like that before. And I sat down and tears came to my eyes. I says, what in the world are the men of God and the women of God doing if the people are so hungry? God have mercy. God have mercy. I can't do it, they say. I don't know how. I'm not prepared. If the heroes of faith had used that as an excuse to determine and their determinate reasoning for working for God or not, where would you and I be? If Paul had said, I can't. If Peter had said, I can't. Or listen to what he said in 1 Peter 4, and each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, it's a fact. We all have a gift. And God chose us determined by the determinate wisdom of His foreknowledge. He chose us because of that gift. I'm not going to insult God by telling Him that I can't. I'm going to give it a try. If I fall flat on my face, it's His fault. That's easy. You know, we love to pass the buck in this society we live in, right? Yes. Nobody's at fault for anything, right? Right? Well, this is one place where I can pass the buck. Pastor, that sermon was horrible. Talk to him. He gave it to me. Not my fault, it's his fault. That was his sermon. See, with the call comes the ability. See, we all have a gift. And we are all called to use that gift. 1 Corinthians 5. Now there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of service, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, I ask you, anybody left out?
No.
No. Turn to somebody and say, you're each. You're each. That's who you are. All gifts come from God. We're to use those gifts, and all are to be used for the good of one another. Oh, glory to God. Paul says, after listing the gifts of the Spirit in the rest of this 1 Corinthians, in verse 11, he says, all these, the gifts. Now, we talk about the gifts, you know, faith, talking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, wisdom, word of knowledge. We talk about all those as determinate. That's the end of them all. No. That's nine of them, but there's a whole lot more. Hello? And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to everyone individually as He wills. So turn to somebody and say, you got it. You got it. It's there. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. Hello. I'm so glad it's not only me. I'm so glad it's not only Jose.
Hey.
Amen. I'm so glad it's not only Peter. I'm so glad it is Peter, Jose, Joel, Paul, Lori, Jenny, Susan, Ruth, Stephen, everybody, Raul, Nasa, Caroline, Amanda, Emily, everybody. We're all part of it, right, Jonathan? We're all part of it. We're it. Amen?
Amen.
See? If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, what would make it any less a part of the body? Anybody let me cut your foot off this morning? Can I go get my machete? I was going to bring it and I forgot it. Lay your foot right up here on the altar. Fuck!
Go ahead.
Gone. Put a nice tourniquet around the bottom of your leg and thump. Now leave the church walking. Hello? Well, I need some crutches. No, you don't get anything. If the ear should say, how many of you are totally happy with the beauty of your ears? I got one that's lower than the other. And I don't know why God did that to me. But if I don't get my glasses adjusted just right, they took my glasses when I bought them and they put them on the thing and they fixed them square. And I said, that's not going to work, dear. And she looked at me and I said, no, that's not going to work. I said, let me put them on. I'll show you. And I put them on and they were as crooked as a dog's hind leg. And she says, you've got crooked ears. I says, you got it. Amen. Because I'm not the eye, I do not belong in the body, then that would not make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? I don't like my nose. I don't like my nose. It's not a Jewish nose, but I don't like it. It's got a mark on it because it was born with a tumor on it and they had to cut the tumor off and they didn't do such a good job. And someone said, you ought to go get plastic surgery. And I says, I don't have the money. And God says, leave it alone. I put it there.
Yeah.
Huh? See? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them. How? Say it. As He chose. Right? If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Not anymore, but used to be. Which our more presentable bodies do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. Had the dorm mother in Carmel Colony School was an old maid from Saskatchewan, Canada. And she was a great teacher, but she didn't know how to wash her feet. And we had to change our shoes because everything was muddy in the Andes Mountains, and we had to change our shoes to go into class. And we all rushed over to sit on the bench and change our shoes before she got there. Because if she got there, the entire community would evacuate. Because there would be a cloud of smell that would rise, settle down on the community that would drive even the animals out of there. Yeah. Her feet stunk terribly. But even though she must have known, she had to know, because it was overpowering. So she had to know, but I didn't see her cutting off her feet just because they stunk. Right? She still used them to walk, right? We've got parts of our body that are not what we think. I don't see, it blows my mind. You ladies will go get pedicures, whatever those are, right? And they paint your toenails and they make them all pretty. And what I say to Leah, you know what you're doing? You're just saying to everybody, look at my feet. The ugliest part of my body, but I want you to look at them. I want to draw attention to them. I want everybody to see them. Right? And if they can't seem to make your little toe look right with all the rest of them, they don't cut it off. Right? See? That's what Paul's saying. We belong to one another. See? Now, let me answer the second question. I got to finish. Let me answer the second question. What's the will of God for my life, and when will the rapture take place? Hang on, I'm going to tell you. See, because the bride always knows when the wedding's going to take place. Right? Right? Jonathan, you weren't the only one that knew. Right? You know how to pick 'em, boy. Yes, you do. Yeah. So she knew, and you knew when you were going to get married. I knew. We took off and went to the lake swimming. Where? The day I got married, with my brother and my brother-in-law. And we got ready and we got there. It is amazing to me that brides generally are never on time for the wedding. I think it's a huge statement. I think they're saying, we're in control. And we stood there. Brother Lawrence said to me, is she coming? I said, I hope so. I turned to the maid of honor who wasn't there yet either. And none of the women were there. All us men were lined up like little. Yeah.
Yes.
Little slaves to be. Yeah. Amen. I didn't say that. But she knew. She did get there. What a glorious day that was. 1 Thessalonians, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Concerning what? Concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. See, the problem was, everybody was going around saying there's no resurrection. And they were grieving because they had relatives that had died. And there were people teaching on that old internet back then. that there was going to be no resurrection. But Paul said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. You say, bring with him? I thought we were going to rise out of the grave. That's the body. That's not the soul and the spirit. When I die, my soul and my spirit goes to be with the Lord. Glory be to God. Put this body wherever you want to put it. I don't give a hoot. I told Leah, when I die, I want you to put me in the ground the very same day. Bury me naked and sell my suits. Glory be to God. And I don't want anybody crying over me. I want you to do it quick and fast. No big deal over me. And she looked at me and said, you'll be dead. I'll do with you just what I want to do. And I got mad. I didn't get mad because she would do with me what she wanted to do. I got mad because I won't be able to do anything about it. I'll be dead. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who are asleep. Glory be to God. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Blessed be God. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be forever with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. You can come to the piano, honey. And then he says this, for concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you, for you know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For whom? When they say. I'm sorry, folks. They is not we. You is not them. Hello? For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon whom? Them. As labor upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, now he's back to you and me, brother, are not in darkness. And I love this, that day should overtake you as a thief. I believe on the authority of the word of God. When Jesus gets ready to tell Gabriel to blow that trumpet and he approaches the balcony of glory, the Holy Ghost is going to be stirring himself inside of me, and I'm going to be unlacing my shoelaces, getting ready to go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a binding promise. It's a binding promise. I know what's going to happen. Hallelujah. That trumpet's going to sound. We're going to be gathered. Glory be to God. And we're going to approach that sea, that golden threshold, that golden throne room. The Bible says, as far as the eye can see, so it can house all of us who are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we're going to be dressed in glorious white. Hallelujah. A crown on our head. And glory be to God. The orchestra of glory, that symphonic orchestra of glory, is going to start to play. Here comes the bride. Hallelujah. We're going to look across that sea of glass. Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father. Every eye of the place, all the seraphims and all the cherubim and all the angels of glory are going to be watching us as we begin to walk across that sea of glass. Glory be to God. We're on our way to our bridegroom. His name is Jesus. Glory be to God. And we get there and the Father says, will you? Hallelujah. And he says, I will. And he says to you and I, will you? And we'll say, we did. Hallelujah. We will. Glory be to God. And so shall we be with the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Listen to me. There's nothing on earth that can keep me from that. There's not enough money. There's not enough prestige. There's not enough power. There's not enough fame. There's nothing that can keep me from that day. Glory be to God. I'm getting ready. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready. Hallelujah. We sang about it at the start of the service, and the binding promise is this. One thing is needed. Read this with me. Read it out loud with me. One. Next. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. There's many things on this earth that in play in regards to my spiritual battles, but my placing God at his table is not one of them. Hear me. Remember Job, glory be to God, the devil can take my finances, he can take my health, he can take my family, he can take everything I have and leave me with nothing, but he can never, ever, ever, never, never, never take my position in God. Hallelujah. I'm his child this morning. I'm a co-heir with Jesus Christ himself. My destiny is a crown and a kingdom. I am his and he is mine. Glory be to God. Amen. I stand here this morning sure of one thing. One thing. And that's my place in God. And the fact that the devil can't take it from me.
Hallelujah.
You can serve the devil if you want. He's a bad taskmaster. He'll take everything you own and then laugh at you when you get upset. But he cannot take your position. I know how to live in victory. I know that the devil's defeated. I know that I'm ready for the rapture. I know that I'm at his table, and I want to spend more time at his table. I want to feast there. I want to fellowship there, and I want to form plans there. Glory be to God. Would you stand with me? Stand with me this morning. This is an old song. This is a real old song. And I want you to sing it with me. Listen, if you're not ready, if your concentration isn't on being ready and separating yourself from the world, take the time this morning to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to make you number one. I'm not going to let the world hinder my position with you. I'm getting ready for a meeting in the air. Amen. Glory be to God. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrushes. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the whale we often sing. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them in that meeting in the air. Oh, there's going to be I'm meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And oh, I long to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It's going to be glorious, I do declare. For God's own Son will be the living one at that meeting in there. Many things will be missing, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner has refused to heed the call. There will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting in the air. For there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, and oh, I long to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It's gonna be glorious, declare. For my God's own Son, he'll be the leading one at that meeting in the air. There the doubters will be missing altogether. All the skeptics will be absent on that day. There'll be no grumblers, disturbers, and the Aikens will be busy far away. There the saints will have his seal upon their foreheads, dressed in raiment none but ransoms can wear. All who have the waiting garments will be present at that meeting in the air. All that's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And oh, I long to meet you over there in my home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. For God's own Son will be the living one at that meeting in the air. Father, thank you. Thank you. We say this morning, even so, come Lord Jesus. Say it with me. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of the politics. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of the devil. I'm tired of temptation. I'm tired of sin. Get me out of here. I pray in Jesus' name. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, cause your word to chase us to the cross one more time. Cause your word to cause us all this week to concentrate on your coming, that we will be ready. Don't let there be any obstacle that hinders our hearing that trumpet and rising to meet you in Jesus' name. We give you our heart, we give you our mind, we give you our soul, and we give you this old sin-chased body in Jesus' name. Sanctify us through your word, we pray. And get us ready. Make us ready. Help us to be ready. In Jesus' name, for your coming. We thank you, Lord. Give us somebody we can share the knowledge of the Word of God with this week, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen and amen. Whose? Emmanuel. Hey, hey, hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Emmanuel. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.